Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
Not just leg warmers and Crocs. Disrespect me. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. This is hour number two on a snowy Friday night in the state of Wisconsin. Are you getting it hit hard where you are? We are getting, here in Green Bay, we're broadcasting live from the City Deck Landing Studios. And wow. Yeah, I would say, what do you think, Conrad? About 8-9 inches maybe?
It just looks more than that, too. And the wind is just crazy right now as well.
Yeah, you... I don't know. Have you shoveled? We don't have to shovel here, do we?
I mean, I don't think
that would be a
Bush
League
hope
move.
Not.
Yeah. Hey, guys, do you mind? I'm sure they have someone to do that. I hope. I'm not shoveling. I'm not a shoveler. I'm an inside guy. I can't be shoveling all kinds of snow. What is this? So we got some more texts here. Somebody said, Go Pack Go. That's not really a song. I don't think. I guess it's a song. That'll count. Sure. Steve from the 920 says, best sports song of all time, Rocky theme song, Gonna Fly Now. I cannot argue with that. That is a great and one of the best soundtracks and score from that movie of all time, too. And one of these days, we'll do sports movies. I was thinking from actual, like, that you'd hear at a sporting event, although they probably play Rocky at some sporting events, too. And I totally agree with Steve there. From the 608, Carla from Baraboo chiming in again. We say Go Pack Go. Oh, another Go Pack Go. All right. I'm on an island here. I concede Go Pack Go is an actual song. There are three words.
It's one of the best songs ever.
Spoken like a true Packer fan. Conrad with a K weighing in. All right. So we got some big business here. Speaking of songs, there is a new Packer song that I think is going to shoot right up the charts. Where is Casey Kasem? Conrad doesn't know who that is, but my next guest does. It's Civic Media's own Terry Barr. Terry, how are you?
Pete, does that mean we're old because we know who Casey Kasem is?
Listen, I'm in my really, really, really late 20s. So don't drag me into this, is what I'm saying.
Very good. I'm 27 and holding forever. So you and I are the same.
Yes, I'm very immature. So I hope that counts for something.
I love it. Don't grow up.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, thanks for being with me tonight, Terry. How are you doing? Where is it? What's it like where you're at right now?
Well, I can tell you, I'm in Madison and okay. My husband just came in from shoveling our driveway. And I think it was the longest time he's been out there and he did not look very happy. But we also had a sweet neighbor that did the entire block, our sidewalks.
Oh, so that was very cool. That's so great.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that for someone? Have you ever shoveled someone's snow?
My husband does, yes. Yeah. Brian definitely does. I could barely do our driveway the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Your husband,
I agree with you. I like to be on the inside or on a beach, not anywhere near the snow.
Listen, I'll sweep the floor. I got no problem with that. You want me to load the dishwasher? I'm your guy.
Yeah.
But I have to shovel snow. It's just part of life, right?
It is. If we are here, that's part of the deal, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So do you live in Madison?
Yeah.
I thought you were in Oshkosh for some reason. I don't know why I thought that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I know I do get a chance to do some work with both your station and the Oshkosh station.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I hear you all the time.
Maybe that's why. Yeah.
Okay. So you actually reached out to me and told me about this song. Mm-hmm. It's a Packer song that I know all you Packer fans love. But it's a new one, right?
It is fairly new. They redid it recently. They had an earlier version, and they actually had an agreement with the Packers in the 90s to play this. And they would, so they made a little bit of cash on it, but they decided because they feel the love. That they would redo it. So it's a band out of Madison. They're called Sunspot. guys are amazing. It's two guys and a girl, and they have been together since they were in college. They met at UW-Madison, and I think they just celebrated like 30 years together or something. Wow. Do you want to play it, or do you want to kind of hold it?
Let's, okay. No, let's hear it like a couple minutes of this is, okay. And the song is called... I'm just lost my song title here.
It's called Go Pack Go, which goes along with all of your text.
Wait a minute. I thought that title was already taken, Go Pack Go.
Oh, you know, man. What? I don't think anyone owns that title. I think we all do.
Well, you know what? I'm Googling patent law right now.
Oh, no.
So done and done.
Oh, you're a lawyer too. Oh, great.
No, I'm not. All right. We are going to play a couple minutes of this song that Terry Bauer brought to our attention. Apparently, it's not a new song, but it's going to be new to a lot of us. And it has a direct tie to Jordan Love, and that kind of put it on the map. So let's go ahead and play some of that, Conrad. Wow. They mean business. Fade out there, Conrad. Wow. I think that song should be called Go Pack, though, right? Because there's no Go Pack Go. Go Pack is kind of a cooler title anyway, I think. So
I think so, too.
You said something about Jordan Love. Did I miss a lyric or something about love?
No. They updated what was around the entire song, but I don't think they added, like, a love part of it.
Gotcha.
But I think they want that. I think that's their next step.
Okay.
Through the playoffs of the season. Yeah. But, I mean, you know this, too, after being from here. There are hip-hop versions. There are country versions. I mean, so many Wisconsin bands have done songs about the Packers. It's really incredible, isn't it?
It's, and I'll tell you what, it's hard to do. I think most songs written for a team or a sport are cheesy. This song I like, I do. They're fun, but it's not like, it's hard to find a song about a team or a sport that's a really good song. Like, you like it because you like the team, but to like the song on its own, that's pretty tough. Eddie Vedder has a good one about the Cubs, I think.
I think you are right on.
Yeah, and then there was...
and you know, if you're talking bigger musicians, I guess Lil Wayne did, you know, a song in honor of the Packers a couple of years ago.
Right. That's right. Yeah. But this one has kind of a kick-ass. It kind of comes out and like, I like how it starts, and it's sort of all about business. There's one lyric I don't agree with, Terry. We don't even miss kickoff for mass.
Oh!
Just immoral. That is going to come back to haunt you. So.
Oh, no. I do remember our minister when I was a little kid. He would change the church time so that we could be there, get home, have brunch, and then watch the game. Yep.
See, I respect that because, I mean, who cares really, right? When it comes down to it, you're still, if you still want to go to mass, go to mass. No, I'm not saying don't care, but like, I love that scene. There's a scene in The Simpsons where it's Super Bowl Sunday and the priest goes up and there's like one person in church and he says, and Reverend Lovejoy says, "Well, I'm glad some of you could resist the lure of the big game." And the guy in the church goes, he gets up and runs out and goes, "Oh my God, I forgot the game."
Yeah.
My guest is Terry Barr. Civic Media's Terry Barr, who brought this new, kind of really fun, Packer song to our attention. And, do you have a favorite song, Terry, other than, this one?
I have several, but you know, you're going to think this is kind of odd.
Never.
This goes back to, you know, we hadn't won anything big in a long, long time. And here we are in the mid-90s and we're kind of cruising on through. But the Cowboys, those darn Cowboys still always had our number. Well, we eventually broke that and then got to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And I remember covering all the celebration in Green Bay when we got back and watching Reggie White. They were playing the song, "These Are the Days."
Wow. Natalie Merchant, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Great song.
And watching him just look around with tears just rolling down his cheeks. He didn't care that people could see he was crying. He was just so happy. And I can never not think of him and that picture in my head when I hear that song. So to me, that's still like one of the greatest sports songs.
Yeah, it's crazy how moments are captured and you just all of a sudden the emotion kind of creeps up on you. It's like, whoa, this is a moment that just happened and I was not prepared for it, you know?
Exactly,
Hey, so can you stick around for just a real quick minute while we do something here?
Yeah, if you want me to, sure.
I do want, well, why would I not? Terry, why would I ask if
I don't know.
Now, Conrad, listen, I don't want Terry to be on the show any longer. So when I ask her to be on the show for a little longer, you make something up. No, Conrad found us.
I can see you. You're like doing the cut thing at your neck. Like, get rid of her.
Never.
Yes.
This is your third visit. You're officially a friend of the show, I think. I think that's what constitutes.
I feel so honored. Right? Thank you both, Pete and Conrad. Thank you very much.
It is all ours, believe me. But we're going to do a quick break and then come back. And Conrad's going to play a song he does not like when it comes to sports. That's coming up after the break. Terry Barr is here. Don't go anywhere.
Ooh.
It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, where we are broadcasting live from the City Deck Landing in Green Bay. The whole state, wherever you are, is being attacked by very rude snow. But we are lighting the night with the show and with Terry Barr, who is with me. I don't want her here. She thinks I don't want her here, but she's here anyway. So it's great to have you with us, Terry. And she just brought to our attention a new Packers song, which I think we all agree is a winner. Conrad, you have a song you don't like.
Yeah, there's one in particular song that I just don't think fits what it was meant for.
Let's get Terry Barr's opinion on this. So give us some background on this, Conrad, and set it up just a little bit, and then we'll see what Terry thinks.
So when the World Cup was in Africa, they made a song called Waka Waka, which is, this is for Africa. And I think they picked the worst possible person to actually sing the song. So.
All right. And it's Shakira, right, Conrad?
Yes, it is.
I gotta tell you, I don't mind this. It kind of picks up a little there.
I just think it could have been someone else.
Because she's not African?
I just think it should be the nationality.
Okay. What do you think, Terry?
It's not hitting me in any way, so I guess that means no.
Okay. That's
on
fair.
That, I think I'm with you. I love the beginning, and then I was all, you know, I was anticipating, where is this going? And then it just kind of went, oh.
Yeah.
I did push-ups the entire time it was on. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Well, I want video evidence of that.
I said push-ups, plural. That's where I erred. I did push-up. I hear what you're saying, Conrad, but I don't think, I mean, if the people of Africa didn't mind, I don't have a problem with the song. I'm not. I don't love it, but it's, I think there are worse. Yeah, I'll tell you what's worse. When it comes to sports songs, Terry, do you remember the song Rock and Roll Part 2?
Yes.
Conrad, play for the listeners. Play a little bit. You can play it kind of lower, though. You don't have to, like, crank it, but let's let people hear this. Yeah, everybody knows this song, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's great. And I used to hear it when I would go to Bulls games. I loved it. But you know what happened? There was a news story about this guy. It's Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like arrested for some very inappropriate stuff.
Yeah.
So you know what?
And then all of a sudden, no one was playing his music anymore.
Yeah.
Let's
turn this off. I didn't realize that. Has he been banned? Has this song been banned?
I don't know that it's been banned, but do you hear it anywhere anymore? I can't recall the last time I have.
Yeah. I mean, I avoid crowds like, I don't go to sport. I mean, I'll go rarely. And I went to a Springsteen concert this summer, but unless it's like something that really hits home, I just don't go. So I don't know what they're playing, but here we got another
What's
one for you.
What's your favorite song then? Do you have a favorite for sports song since you're asking us?
I do. I have, I like Conrad. Let's see if Terry can guess this one.
Okay.
Play the one that I told you I liked before.
Oh.
This is up there.
Yep.
You know what though? Okay. You can play, let's let it play, Conrad, kind of lightly so we can talk over it. Terry, I think this is a great song. It makes, like, the hair on my head stand up, but it's its own song, too. They use it at sporting events.
Yes.
The song you brought to us was written for the Packers. Eddie Vedder's was written for the Cubs. So I guess this is kind of a different, all right, you can cut it, Conrad. I guess it's kind of a different thing. Here's another one. Conrad, play this one, which we will jump around to.
Oh.
This is the best.
Yes.
I mean, I never get sick of hearing this.
Me either. And you know, this was voted the number one event around sports. And I think they honed in only on college sports.
Yeah.
But it was a USA Today survey that they just did this last fall. And this came up at number one as one of the coolest things around college sports.
Yeah, I think I heard that. And when you're there in Madison, it is just like, I mean, I know the word electric, it's like almost a cliche, but it is. It's like you just feel it in your soul. It's so great.
Yeah. And it's so funny, like even the older people, if they can't or don't want to jump, they'll do the bend at the knee and at least look like they're kind of jumping, and you gotta love it because it gets to you.
They're not getting actual air, but
no.
They're still participating.
Exactly.
Right. So I'm talking to Terry Barr, Civic Media's own Terry Barr. We have a couple minutes left, Terry. What I have to ask you some quick hits here. I asked these to Emerson Lehman too, and I asked these to serious Packer fans. Favre, Rodgers, or Love?
Ooh. I love to look forward. Oh,
okay.
Love. I use that word again. but having covered the 90s teams, I enjoyed that time spending, you know, so many times on the road with all the guys and, you know, in the 90s, the number three rivalry in all of the NFL was the Cowboys and the Packers. That was the number three.
Really?
But I hope that Jordan Love has what it takes to move it forward because, you know, we have short mind and time frames where we don't want to wait for long anymore.
Right.
And I think we thought we had a dynasty you know, with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers then. And we got one Super Bowl, and then we didn't even get back to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you just kind of wonder what happened. So I hope this is the start of something totally new. That's what I'm going for.
Okay, so you didn't really answer the question, though.
I didn't. No, I talked my way all the way around.
But I
it,
think
and
you're
I was
leaning.
You didn't notice that.
Yeah. You almost pulled it off. I think you're leaning love.
I'm going to.
Okay.
You know what was on Twitter that made a big splash, or X, whatever people are calling it? The other day, he helped push a young lady.
I know. I saw that.
Isn't that incredible? He pushed a young lady's car out of the snowbank. Now, what other quarterback is going to stop and do that? I hope he didn't get hurt. I don't think he did.
Then everyone would hate her.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, my gosh, that poor woman. Yes.
Fickle Packer fans. Okay, so one more for you, Terry. Holmgren, okay. McCarthy, LaFleur.
I'm still a Holmgren fan.
Okay. Kind of started it all, right?
For me, is a for sure. But again, I was in Green Bay at that time, got to know both Mike Holmgren and his wife, Kathy, very well. We did a lot of community things together. They were so wonderful to the Green Bay area. I was mad how he left because I felt like he was kind of ignoring the Packers at that second Super Bowl and we lost. But I still think of him as just a wonderful person.
Wow.
And
awesome
the things, the things that he said in that Reggie White special, I don't know if you've had a chance to watch that on ESPN. But terrific. He obviously, now looking back, loved his time in Green Bay.
Well, I loved my time with you, Terry. Thank you so much for being with me on another Friday night. It was fun. Thanks so much.
You are a dear, and both you and Conrad, be safe as you travel tonight.
All right, back at you. Thanks so much, Terry.
Go Packers!
That's Civic Media's Terry Bell. When I come back, writer, producer, comedian Becky Pedigo joins me. We're going to talk to her about a lot of fun movies. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. We are broadcasting live from the City Deck Landing, our WGBW studios in downtown Green Bay. Statewide, we are getting hit all over the state with a lot of snow, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. That's my Pete Schwab 5-day forecast. We're getting hit with snow now. That's what I say. I forgot to tell people it is National Kiss a Ginger Day today. Think a redhead came up with that? Glad they stopped at Kiss. Okay, we got another text from the 715. Favorite sports song. Well, not favorite, but 300 Violin Orchestra is a good sports song. I'm unfamiliar with that one, but I will check it out. Great text tonight, folks. As always, it is my pleasure now to welcome in a producer, writer, and comedian who I'm a big fan of. Becky Pedigo joins us now via what I like to call the telephone. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Pete Schwab. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for being with me.
Well, thank you for having me.
We tried this a couple weeks ago, but it was like a perfect storm of techno boob issues. Just didn't happen.
That's pretty much how my career has always gone. It's like, oh, this didn't work. Oh, that didn't work either. Okay. Let's not do it.
Made Carson. Oh, sorry, he died. That kind of thing.
Oh, he's dead. Yeah, exactly. But look at us talking old school, and I'm wired up. Like, I don't even have, like, the wireless earbuds because I'm old, and it's like, I don't even care. I'm just right here and just doing it.
I am sure you are more techno savvy than my guest last night, who I had back-to-back Chicago Comics. I had Jimmy Pardo on Wednesday, and then I had Mike Schmidt last night. Do you know Mike?
I know Mike, and it makes me feel so much better that he was worse than me. So I can't wait.
Mike is worse because he said for him to get a podcast on the air, Becky, he said a fan, literally, who he knew, had to go to him and say, I will come to your house. I will set everything up. I will produce it for you. And Mike said, the only thing I can do is talk. I barely know how to use a pen. Also, I thought that is pretty incompetent.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
that's hilarious.
So this is great. I just wanted to have you on because you've done some really cool things. We have a lot of mutual friends. You've been a stand-up and a writer for 30 years. What do you prefer? First of all, do you have anything you're working on right now you want to talk about before we get into the whole nuts and bolts of stand-up comedy and writing?
I'm trying to, I'm doing, I'm trying to do a con. It's ridiculous. It's like anything I can just make up that's not going to work. Yeah, let me do that. That sounds great. I wanted to, because, it's not just enough to go easy. I'm trying to figure out, I do a lot of readings with my stories, and so I'm trying to do, the blend of, storytelling, reading, stand-up without it being too douchebaggy, if I can say that.
I think you can. Conrad, can she say that?
So I'm...
Go right ahead, I guess.
Okay, take a memo. I think we're good.
Good. I'm just trying to figure out what is going to be fun and challenging and, something different that's not just plain old stand-up, which...
Straight jokes, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love stand-up, after a while, it's, how to do it. Let's do something else.
So I think that's interesting that you just said that because you've been on late night TV. You were on the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, a very popular show. You had your own Comedy Central special, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
I did. Yes.
Those are two pinnacles of stand-up comedy. Once you do those, if you don't have your own sitcom, what do you do? Obviously you write and you produce too.
Exactly. Yes. That is exactly what you do. Those things, and those are the things that you shoot for, and then you do them and you just go, well, I did it. Now what do I do? You lose some of the charm of, I don't know. I just interrupted you to say absolutely nothing.
No, because it gives you total street cred. When you go into comedy as however old you were, it's that's where I want to be. I remember sitting at home in my parents' family room. I was in eighth grade. So I guess technically it was still my family room because I was part of the family. But I remember watching.
Or were you?
Or was I? Maybe I was adopted. I
were you? Okay. We don't know. But okay.
But we'll, I'm watching Evening at the Improv, and they used to do these kind of things where after the set, they'd show the comics outside talking on Melrose. And I was God, I just want to be one of those guys. I want to be a comic outside the Improv talking. And for me, almost more than, and I never made it to the point, I kind of stopped and was doing writing. And I don't know if I ever would have got there anyway, but when I did Evening at the Improv, I'm okay, that's it. That's what I wanted to do. But what, I don't know, you've done late night TV and a Comedy Central special. What was cooler?
Absolutely late night.
Yeah.
I had the worst. My Comedy Central special was, to me, a nightmare. It was when I walked off stage, she said, don't worry, we'll sweeten it. It was literally a man in the audience had turned, as much as he could turn around away from me.
Oh, dear.
He was turned away. And I actually said, I've spent 20 years trying to get this, and this is what it is.
Yeah.
It was just. Because I followed, it's excuse or not. It's just part of it was me. Part of it was I followed. They pair you with another comic.
Right.
And they paired me with D-Ray, who is hilarious. He is completely different than me. He's from New York, I believe.
Yeah.
He's super high energy. The crowd was there to see D-Ray. And then they have this crowd warm-up guy and everybody's dancing. Blah, blah, and it's just the complete opposite of what I am and what I do. And I just, it was so, do you know who Megan Mooney is? She's hilarious. She filmed hers the same week I did. And so she lives here in Redondo Beach. And so I remember going to her house to watch the uncut version and I just cried. And she kept saying, they're going to sweeten it. It's going to be, I'm like, that sucks.
Oh.
So I'm going to go with late night was better.
All right. Well, it sounds like it was.
Yeah. But now that I look back at it, it's I was a kid and stupid and, you know, everything mattered. And now I'm like, that wasn't bad. That was pretty good.
Yeah, no one will ever know. I mean, especially if they sweeten it, who cares, right? Your jokes are still funny. Yeah. You're still, so yeah, yeah, I totally. I had a gig, a friend of mine who used to work at Comedy Central set me up with this private show on a boat in like Redondo Beach. I'm in LA a year. He wants me to, some people might call it headlining. What I did though is I went last. The Gabriel Iglesias, I think his name was, he opened.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Talk about high energy. He went up there. These people could not even catch their breath. And I'm like,
yeah,
you know, oh my God. I had to go up and do 40 minutes after that. My shirt was soaking. Yeah, I was like Albert Brooks in broadcast news. Literally, if I got a snicker, I was happy. It was horrible. Bad parody.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, Gabriel, he is a monster, too. And he's just like, you see that, and you're like, what were these people thinking? What was I thinking? I don't deserve this. What are you on the show?
And he was just starting out. And I've got tons of stories like that. Mitch Hedberg, I was at a comedy club in Grand Forks right before I moved to L.A., and he was the middle act. And he's begging the club owner to headline him next time. And he's kind of complaining to me, and I'm like, oh, you know, whatever. Don't worry, man. You'll get there. Like, not condescending, but just like the thing you say to another comic. Well, 2 weeks later, he's on Letterman. Yeah. And he's selling out arenas. So I've got a ton of stories like that. But he was actually great to follow because he was smart and wasn't crazy high energy. And anyway, he was a great comic. But
Yeah, he was awesome. Yeah, that's just comedy, though. You know, I mean, that's just
the way things fall sometimes.
Always that,
for sure. My guest is Becky Pettigo. She is a writer, producer, and comedian, and a very funny person. Did you watch the Golden Globes, Becky?
No, I did not. I don't watch TV for one reason. Spectrum sent me the equipment. I thought I was going to be able to set it up, so I guess I don't watch TV anymore.
Well, don't you have the interwebs? Can't you watch?
I do. I watch a lot of serial killer things on Netflix because I'm like, maybe I worked with one of these guys. I don't know. I've been on the road a long time. I'm not kidding. I'm trying to like, oh, I wonder if I'll see anyone I know. But yeah, I don't, I don't watch TV.
Well, there was just a big controversy with Joe Coy. Joe Coy, yeah. I wrote Kojoy for some reason. And I've been talking about him all week and I still misspelled his name. What was that about? I had to go back and play it because I don't really watch award shows either. I think they're kind of strange when you say this is better than this and like it's a sporting contest somehow. But this guy, you know, I don't like that he said, you know, some of these I wrote and those are the funny ones. Then he kind of laughed at his own stuff. I get that he was very nervous. But why they were attacking his jokes like he offended Taylor Swift. And I'm like, first of all, that was a pretty decent joke. Second of all, she didn't like sneer at him. She just looked up like, oh, a joke is being told about me. Like, what are these people supposed to do? Like slap their knee and laugh? It's so strange.
I know. And you know, I don't know Joe. I remember him back in the old days at the Improv and, you know, I'm not even familiar with his act, but it's like, who would have done well? You know what I mean? I figure, you know, I mean, he's very strong. He sells out a lot of places. I couldn't tell you any of his jokes, not because he's not funny, just because I don't know him.
Right.
But yeah, what's everybody, you know, everyone's acting like he's the worst thing on the planet. It's like, you know what? If you didn't know him, now you do. And so I think he wins.
Absolutely he wins. And I feel like with all the award shows, all people do is complain about the new person and go, well, when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler did it, they were great. But I remember people complaining about them too. And it's like,
oh yeah.
I mean, and they were great. I thought they were really good, but I just don't understand that whole mentality. They didn't like Chris Rock, especially Will Smith, but like everybody gets kind of lampooned for this gig. And I don't know. I just thought it was strange. So you have I want to ask you about, where is that question I had for you? Oh, tell people about your blog, Becky. Where can they read the comedy stylings of Becky Pettigo?
Well, Pete, let me tell you about writing, how to find my stuff. Sure, people just, everybody got a pen? You ready?
Get ready, folks.
Get ready. It's just an app. It's BeckyPettigo.blog. And it's only a blog in the sense of, I don't know how to build a website. This was easier. I'm totally serious.
Don't talk to Mike Schmidt. Sort of,
no, well, I'm still better than Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, he's not your guy for that.
Let him know immediately. He is not the guy. But it's just, you know, it's just like, it's sort of along the line, like the way I write, it's basically, it's sort of David Sedaris, but I'm not comparing myself to him, but it's that sort of essay, personal,
okay,
you know, funny, whatever stuff. And it's, some of it's rambling thoughts, some of it's, you know, just stuff I think is funny. But it's just BeckyPettigo.blog.
Okay, so. Very cool. And then the other thing, what did I want? Oh, so, okay. So you worked on Last Comic Standing. And you, I think you told me before we tried to do this last time, you didn't. That's kind of a competition, too. What do you think about that? Was that an enjoyable experience?
You know, it was enjoyable in the sense of I had a network writing credit. I was on a writer. It was a great show. Paige Hurwitz and Wanda Sykes, it was their production company, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
And everybody I worked with was awesome. So it was a really fun experience, but it's not a great, for me, like for a comic, it's a lot. What I was doing, it was like associate producer, and then I did helped a little bit like talent scouting, a little bit like they flew us around and we looked for comics. That part was kind of fun. But it's a lot of paperworky stuff that is just like boring to me. That it wasn't the show's fault. It was, but I thought the competition when Paige and Wanda took it, they made it really good. Like they made it actually legit. Whereas before I kind of thought it was hokey, but
that's interesting.
The experience was good. Yeah.
So, hey, can you stick around? We have to do like 60 seconds of business here. And then I want to ask you about working the road and find out what you're watching. Can you hang with me a little longer?
Yes, I will.
All right. I know you're not setting up a computer, so I know you got the time and you can't use that as an excuse.
But I'm starting. Okay, you guys go. I've got the timer going.
All right.
60 seconds. Let's do it. All right.
Becky Pettigo is here and she's going to stick around. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We were talking earlier with WBAY anchorman Emerson Lehman about Seinfeld, and a friend of mine, Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles, just texted me something. The actor who played Crazy Joe DiVola passed away. Peter Crombie is his name. Becky, do you remember that episode, the Crazy Joe DiVola?
I do. I was just trying to picture him. Oh, wow.
He was so funny.
Bad.
You know, that's got to be...
Was he a comic?
I don't know. And, you know, I know so many character actors that I'm really good friends with. And I think that's a better fate than, like, I don't think I've ever seen Peter Crombie in anything else. But what he did was so iconic and so memorable. That's got to be frustrating in a way, right?
Yeah, I mean, he may have done stuff that maybe we don't know. But, yeah, that's definitely, I think he's known for that character, for sure.
Yeah, he's got a lot of credits. He was in Seven, Rising Sun. Born on the 4th of July. Okay, what do I know? Good for him.
Wow, you should, like, what is your producer? He should have been researching that. That's not your fault.
All I do with Conrad is tell him to take a memo, and he's got 7,000 memos in there. I can't even keep up with my own.
I already filled up a whole notebook.
Jeez, Conrad, come on, dude. Tell the Google.
Here's the other thing I saw today, Becky. You can weigh in on this if you would, please. Kate Winslet keeps her Oscar in the bathroom. Did you see this? She said,
"I didn't."
Okay, so she said the whole point is for everybody that goes in there to pick it up, and give an Oscar speech in the mirror, and practice their Oscar speech, and that's why she keeps her Oscar in the bathroom.
Well, I would hope that she would have the antibacterial soap in front of the Oscar that they wash their hands
or
before they touch it. See?
Really,
I have a Comedy Central special. Come on. Who's not laughing at that?
Or just a really kick-ass bidet. Something.
That's true.
Take care
of it. Something. Keep those hands.
I don't know.
Well, that's actually pretty cool that she does that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it's true, it's very funny. Whether it's true or not, I have no idea. I've never been to her house. We keep missing each other. But
I'm sure it'll happen. Don't worry.
We'll connect one of these days. So I wanted to ask you, I never, like, the women I worked the road with in the 90s, and I was only a comic really for about 9 years. I always felt bad for them because guys are just guys. Did you work the road a lot? And what was that experience like for you?
I went on the road during the comedy boom of the 80s. So I had just turned 22.
Oh, man.
So it was like 87, 88, something like that. And so I had worked in my hometown and I'd worked with all these guys, and I'm like the little sister. I had so many good experiences with guys.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, everyone looked out for me, and I had a couple of creepy, you know, there was some creepy out there, but for the most part, I mean, I can't believe if I look back at what I did, I would not let my daughter do it. I mean, I just, like, the situations I was in and, you know, they could have been bad. But, you know, I was, like, in that handful of women who just during the boom just was out there. It was like living out of my car and living
right.
in disgusting condos with people. And it was awesome.
Well, I think that's why I was curious, because there weren't as many. There's a lot more women comics now, wouldn't you say?
Well, there were a lot of us, but I think only one got to work occasionally. I mean, even now, I mean, I look at I look on Facebook or Instagram and all these shows, and there's 10 guys and maybe one young hot girl.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, it's still that. But I'm not going to lie. I was the young, hot girl that got a lot of work. I don't regret them. I'm like, but you know why you're getting work, right? Like,
yeah.
They don't know, you know, but that's a lot of it. It's like, okay, either you're Roseanne Barr or you're the hot young one who they stick on a show.
Right.
So there were a lot of women. I knew a lot of women. I rarely worked with them. And if I did, it was always like the girl comic freak show where that's how it was.
Yeah, they always had to label it or something.
Oh, yeah. It couldn't just be, you know, and I traveled for years with just the opening act for Beth Donahue. I don't know if you ever worked with Beth out of Nashville.
I know her, though, or I know of her, yeah.
Yeah, she was one of the funniest people male, female, she just destroyed, and she took me as her feature act, and it was just, you know, she was one of the
That's
few
really
women
cool.
headliners that helped other women. So that was really cool.
You know what made me think of that question was recently I was talking with a friend of mine who reminded me of a quote that a club owner said. He didn't want, I think he did put, there was a female comic and he put her up in a hotel. He said, no, you can't stay in the condo because what if guys want to walk around and they're all together? That's what he said.
Oh, like, I've heard that too.
Yeah. And it's like he expected her to change her life. And also he gives the impression that there's like two or three guys in there and we're all hanging out naked. That's not how it was either.
That's not how it worked.
I mean, maybe sometimes, but, you know, if the week is slow,
well,
maybe really weird.
Well, yeah, you know, it depends. Most of my, other than the condos just being disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh, one time, well, it doesn't matter. But I mean, for the most, like all these stories are like, ugh.
I love your delivery. I always have. You have just a great, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I had to tell you that because that's why I wanted to have you on the show. I love, you just have like this sarcastic vibe that I just absolutely love.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're one of the few men who find that appealing.
Well, there's a handful of us and we spend a lot of naked time together in condos. So,
It's always the naked guy in the condo that found my delivery good.
Those were the days. We have to let you go, but I hope you come back and do this again sometime. And I'm glad we finally connected because it was great to talk to you.
I know, me too. Thank you guys so much. It was really fun.
Figure out that color television there and watch some shows and you can come back on and talk about them because that's what we
did. Yeah, once I get my cable hooked up, I'm going to give you guys a call.
You'll be all
you
set.
Know what I'm watching.
All right. Thanks, Becky. Right, have a great night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's writer, comedian, and producer Becky Pettigo. Love her delivery. Love her delivery in conversation. Even when she's not making a joke, it's funny. So we are almost out of here on this very snowy night. I want to thank all of my guests tonight. Terry Barr, Emerson Lehman from WBAY, and comedian Becky Pettigo. Thanks for all your texts and calls. Conrad, did we cover everything? Did we cover everything tonight?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think we did. Tony Evers saw Barbie. We didn't really do a deep dive into that, but that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And we'll get into more fun stuff on Monday on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabe. Thanks so much for being with me. Good night, Wisconsin.